Here. You got the wrong one. There we are. Am I unmuted? Okay. Oh, thank you, Jim. We can ask a few questions.
Brother Mark, I have a question.
Okay.
Yes, as we have been told and assured that we are work in progress. But what comes to me as something of inquiry to know is at what point in our life and our work with God do we come to that full mature sons, or is it that the full mature sons we are talking about is not going to be individuals, it's going to be the many-membered body, the man-child as a group, or that as an individual has to come to a point where I have progressed from being a technon to the youths? And is this something God can reveal to me that I should know about? From my experience, some of our brethren were passed on. I don't know. I've not been close to them when they were passing. Did they have the advantage of realizing that at this point, my walk with God has come to a stage where I am a mature son now? The only example I can cite is Brother Paul saying that now I'm ready to be offered and the time of departure is at hand. And then he began to say, I've run a good race and I finished my course. So that insinuates to me that he realized he must have come to a mature son. Well, that is just to infer. But the question is, does any one of us expect to come to that point before we pass out of this natural life? Or is this something that we are going to be matured through death? So that is the
Amen.
question.
That
Go
is
ahead, Mark. I'd like you to
that
answer that, Mark.
is
Go ahead.
no, I'm going to ask you, Jim. Because that is the exact question that I was going to ask.
Okay. I'm going to try to defer one time here. Mike, do you have any thoughts on that? You got some good thoughts? Come on. I will own up and I will answer the question, but I want to see if anybody else has anything.
Okay, yeah, I do have a thought on that.
Okay, good.
I think that absolutely we have the opportunity to become a mature son now, just you alone. And I believe it's one of the good ways to look at it is kind of like popcorn. When you make popcorn, a few of the seeds start popping early, and it starts increasing, and pretty soon they're all popping. And so I think it's like, Seth used to say this a lot. If you take any kind of a fruit that's becoming ripe, like say a banana or an avocado or whatever, you take it and you stick it in a group of other fruit, and the hormones that are ripening the one fruit, they cause the other fruit to start ripening too. So I believe it's God's plan that any that will submit themselves fully to God and really allow their lives to come to the full stature of Christ, it's going to help the others. And so that's my thought, is that it does not take death. It does not take, well, I was going to say it does not take the entire body. In the end, I believe it will take the entire body to really overcome the devil. But I think my thought would be that we can, and not only can we become a mature son now, but it's God's plan that we become a mature son, which is even more important than can we. It's that it is His plan for us to do. And it is only our resistance to the Holy Spirit that stops it from happening.
In other words, each of these three phases that Jim mentioned, babyhood, childhood, and sonship, we don't know the exact mark of demarcation where we pass from one to the other, but you're saying that we can come into sonship, and sonship is also a process. Is that what you're saying, yes. Mike? Yeah.
Yes, I would say so. And like, you know, I like to always prove something from the Bible. And don't you suppose that Enoch must have come to that place for God to just remove him from the earth? You know, so I think that God has shown us that it is possible.
Okay, so the coming of sonship is not necessarily the qualification of quote unquote making heaven. Okay, in other words, children who are born again and repented and all that, they go to heaven. Babies who are still innocent go into heaven. Whatever the process, there's a time when a baby comes into accountability, you know, where they realize that they have, that they are sinners, that they've done wrong. And of course, mothers with paddles and switches help to bring that accountability to them.
Can I read a scripture here?
Go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. From verse 51. Okay, I start from verse 50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's always put in the plural. We shall be changed. It didn't say I shall be changed. So, bro, Dusi will always say that God is going to activate the sons of God in the time of the great tribulation. So the sons of God here is something that I can pursue as an individual, but the issue of becoming a full, manifested, matured son, it's not individualistic. Because what we are dealing with here now is the issue of corruption and mortality. So until those things that speak of the flesh is completely taken out of us, then will that manifestation of sonship be revealed? Because if God removes it in one man and leaves the other group with it, there's the tendency of pride. That's why Paul will always say, God has taken him up even to the third heavens and shown him things that cannot be spoken to mortal men. But God put a thorn in his flesh so that he could be in place where he will know that he is an ordinary man and is not above any of the other brethren. So my belief is that It is a group, it's a body thing, that the body, the sonship thing that we have been speaking is going to be manifested in a body.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Not Amen. An individual.
I agree with my brother. And I also agree with my brother Mike. So if we would look at Paul, the apostle, would you say Paul was an epios? No. Would you say Paul was a technon, a child? No. Paul lived and worked and functioned as a huios, a matured son. Now, to come into full stature, and I'm going to quote Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 4, until, this is verse 13, and this should answer both questions. Ephesians 4 and 13, till we all come, that's A-L-L, all, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto what? The perfected man. Till we all come to the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I agree. I believe, Mike, that Paul was a huios. But was Paul perfected? No. Did he come to full stature? No. Let's read on. We henceforth be no more children. And incidentally, in verse 14, Ephesians 4 and 14, that word children is nepios, a baby. That we henceforth be no more nepios, babies, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And here is where it agrees with what Brother Boma said here, verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And what I believe Paul is saying, I may grow up to be a huios son and be able to see things in the spirit others can't see, but I'm not perfected. And I have not come to full stature, and I can't. Until the body, there is a time appointed of the Father when the sons of God are going to break through the veil and come in to full stature in Christ. That is called man child. That's all I have.
So, Jim,
okay, just a minute, Mark. Joanne wants to read that.
I'm going to read Ephesians 4:16 in the Amplified, from whom the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love.
Thank you, Joanne. Amen.
So, in other words, you can come to sonship in these days of your breathing air, okay? You can function as a son, but there's still more that God is going to do. And that will not finish until what you read in Philippians, until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, can I give a little bit of my personal history in this? It was nearly 23 years ago that I came to the place where I was dying, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, "For you are dead." And I truly came right up to that door of death. I mean, the doctors thought I was gone. Nurses yelling at me to see if there's still any life left in me. And I know that I remember that time that door was right there. In fact, I felt that it was within reach of my hand, the door of death. It was dark. It was the valley of the shadow of death. And somehow I realized that if I could only open that door, and all I had to do was step through, and I wouldn't come back. I just knew that. On the other hand, I also knew that I was at peace with God. I knew if I went through that door, I wouldn't be going to hell. I'd be going into the kingdom, the fullness of God. But he passed. He passed on that. He had a chance to take me, and he passed. Now, have I learned a whole lot more in the last 20 years? Oh, my. Have I come more into the image and fullness of Christ? Well, I certainly hope so. And Rita, living with me, I hope she would agree that I've become more and more like Christ, since I would be biased in examining myself. Yes, I think that we can come to and function as sons, but not complete, not full, until that day of Christ. And you know, that day of Christ is going to do several things. In the maturing, insofar as are going through tribulation, that kind of experience is going to come to an end. Okay? We won't be able to learn anymore by having trials and pain and tribulation. That type of thing is over. However, there's something else that's going to happen, and the brother read that verse, flesh and blood. The flesh and blood part is over, okay? And now we are spiritual, fully spiritual, and we have a spiritual body that is going to be given to us as well. So, yes, keep moving, keep growing. You know, I imagine, I've not experienced it, I imagine that if I could get to be 100 years old, I would still be growing in Christ. Mm-hmm. I one time thought, well, if you make it to 80 or something, then that's as far as you could go. No, that's not it. God isn't finished with you. And by the way, God isn't finished with giving you tribulation either. Let me assure you of that. Amen.
You know, the building of the tabernacle took 1 year. It was just 1 year, and that tabernacle was complete. Solomon's temple was 7 years in the building. Seven meaning perfection. Everything had to be done exactly how God ordained it to be done. Every craftsman had to do his work perfectly. Now, this is the point I want to get to. How do we know that we are not yet complete? Instruct me. I'll tell you what, you know you're not complete when you get married. Your wife or your husband reminds you. If you don't have a husband or wife, your children will remind you. Dad, come on. You're not complete. Okay, but how do we know when that building was completed? The sacrifice was made. And the glory of God came down and filled the temple. Are you filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? Come on, brethren. We know that we are not complete in Christ until that glory comes down and fills this temple. And then the glory of God goes and fills all the earth. All of us, Philippines, Africa, Europe, we all go all over the earth and take the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Rita.
I just want to share what was coming to me when we're talking about coming to completeness and fullness. Just bear with me because it does relate. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, every woman wants to be this woman. But you know what? Not one woman can attain it. It has to be a body that fulfills what Proverbs 31 says. It takes a body. It can't be just one individual person to complete this virtuous woman. It is a body, and it's the same with coming into the fullness of Christ. Each of us can attain to maybe 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, but when we come together, we are that perfected, complete body of Christ. Not one person can do it all. Amen. We all have a part. Amen. And no one is any less than anyone else. Amen.
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 Yes. I had an experience recently, some weeks back. We remember a day that Mark asked a question here on this platform for an explanation of glory, you know, and a few things were said, and that really, you know, troubled me, and I have to go into a study of that word glory. As I studied it, I discovered that I was not making a headway. The more I studied, the more it became fake. But suddenly, I had in my heart, you are the glory of God. You are the glory of God. So when I had that voice, what came to me was, actually, if God is saying, I am the glory of God, you are the glory of God, it means what exactly our brother is saying in the world today, that we are a finished, a work in progress. Because God does not
work in progress.
God does not see us the way we see ourselves. He sees the final end of us. You are the glory of God. And I know myself. I cannot be an epitome or Christ, said to be Christ-like now. And God is saying, you are the glory of God. So it tells me clearly that I am a work in progress, and God is seeing my end, not my now. And now that took me to Matthew 5, where God, Matthew 5, verse 22, where, let me just read it. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. When we disparage the work of God, the workmanship that God has done, which is ourselves, God will not be happy with us. God is angry when we speak disparagingly to a fellow man, a fellow human being, which is the workmanship of God, which God sees as perfect, says that we are going to face hellfire if we condemn his work on earth. So that tells me that when I look at a man, I should see the glory of God, not to condemn a man in whatever form, whether in action or in structure, in anything. I should acknowledge that this is a workmanship that God is still creating. And the final end of it is his glory. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen.
There was a couple of things that came to me. One was a song, Awake, O Israel. And in the second verse, it says, for in the furnace of much affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, for iron I'll give you silver, and for brass I'll give you gold. So yes, we are to go through our trials and tribulations for the perfecting of us. And then I'd like to also read Carpenter Shop song, the last verse. As soon as I get it back. Okay, the last verse of the Carpenter Shop that Jim was referring to says, he worketh with care in the carpenter shop, rebuilding me so patiently. His hand was skillful and sure, forming a son strong and mature. Through the process, though the process was painfully slow, my heart could rejoice in his love. For I knew that his work he'd complete as day by day he whittled away. And so praise God, we are all, every single one of us. We have not, well, one of us, Paul even said, he, not that I have arrived yet. So praise God. But the other thing that came to me was Romans 8:28, because we can understand that we have not made it yet, because it says all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the sons of God. I didn't quote that quite right, but it's still happening. And on a song that the Lord gave me, or not a song, but a verse for the love of God was, "O love of God, come fill my heart with this love that's from above, that I might see my brother here, not with my eyes, but eyes of love. His weaknesses no longer there, only images of you. In this we know your word is true, and we become one in you." So it's a we're all in the process. We not a one of us has arrived, or actually we just wouldn't be here, but we're all in the process. And praise God, because it's of his love. He's bringing forth the glory of Christ in each one of us to shine forth to our lost and dying world. And so praise the Lord that he's not finished with us yet. Praise the Lord that we have testimonies that of overcome, how the Lord is enabling us to overcome all these individual things that are in our lives. So just praising God, for he will have that. And I'm so thankful for that verse that he will perform it. He will perform it. Because Connie, I don't have the strength, but he does. With God, all things are possible. He will perform. I'm his. I can't think I'm anything else but his. So the lump of clay, I relate to the lump of clay so much. So praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us not use that we are not complete as an excuse to say, "Oh, well, we'll always be sinners." Because I know that that's the doctrine in some churches. And that's the reason they don't like this preaching about sonship. Say, "Well, we're never going to come to perfection." So they just say, "Well, we'll always sin. We can always expect to sin." And I remember Brother DeCille clearly preached against that doctrine.
Well, if I could, I'd just like to add one more scripture in Revelation chapter 14. And turn there, Joanne. I don't know if I want anything there, but this is Revelation 14 in verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." Now, Zion speaks of the completed man. Zion speaks of perfection, the perfection of beauty, the glory of God complete. So he's saying, who did I see in Zion? And who is Zion? The 144,000. The 144,000 is 12 times 12 with three zeros. You coming to your 12, completion. Me coming to my 12, completion. Three zeros. The perfection of the body. We're going to have a perfected body. Brother read it in 1 Corinthians 15. A completed body, a completed soul, and a completed spirit. Three zeros
completion. And the 12 times 12 means that I'm going to be completed in a body. And I cannot be completed without the body. So, praise God, this is a vision that God gave to us, the church, to encourage us to go on, that we will be numbered among this Lamb company on Mount. Brother Boma, Brother Boma, God bless you, brother. I can see you're repopulating the planet. You're procreating. I love to see these beautiful children. Praise God, brother.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's all I have, Mark. God bless you.
I see John waving. Do you have something to say, John?
Yes, I want to tell Brother Jim there that I was really blessed by his message. I believe it was a divine appointment that I heard it today. You had brought up something, Brother Mark, a couple weeks ago, and asked me a question on this Zoom about when you were on the subject matter of turning the other cheek and how I felt rejected by most of the folks in my area that are born again Christians, but they not being obedient to the Lord to expand. I just want to share this one scripture that popped into my head in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become. Become means a process, the sons of God, even to them that believe on him, on his name. And as I was saying, I shared with you, I don't feel like I turned the other cheek when 2 weeks ago you asked me that question. And like I said, I wasn't feeling like I was growing with any of the bodies of Christ. And I was searching for so many different churches and I was ministering, but they came back to me, even as Brother Jim had said, and I was labeled a Decillian, you know, like I was involved in a cult and all these other things. And I started being slowly rejected by all the body around this area. But so I got discouraged, and I've been going through that. And a lot of the people that were in our ministry had passed away and went to be with the Lord. And I was really kind of struggling, but I had confidence in the Lord, but I was struggling. And it was only about after that Zoom 2 weeks ago, I had two dreams. And one dream, I was in a van with some people. I knew my family was in the back, even though I wasn't viewing them. And it looked like it was Albany and was like big winding roads that like overpasses going across the river. And there were these bodies laying in the road. And then there was a man carrying a gun. It looked like some kind of semi-automatic weapon. And I was starting to fear a little, basically for my family in the back of this van. And then all of a sudden, I was somewhere else and I had a dream. In the dream, I was standing and water was flowing chest high. And but the water was flowing because it was going over top of my shoulders in the current. And as I looked, this reflection of red, it looked like blood mixed in with the water. And it was very vibrant red, colorful red. And the thought came into my mind, the blood, and I felt refreshed. And even as I feel refreshed now with the confirmation, because I know, as Brother Jim had shared in his message today, that I am a work in process and I'm that piece of wood, as he gave in his analogy, that God is still carving. And I believe that we help each other to come into that fullness by sharing with each other, like I can't receive here, but I do in this Zoom. And I'm really blessed by it today. So praise God. If anyone has any thoughts on that dream, because it was so alive and vivid that I felt it was from the Lord.
Amen. Yes, John, you are called to be among the sons of God. Let no devil try to lie about that. Well, it seems that dream, even you dreamed that you dreamed. It's going to take a little while for the revelation to come. And I've had some dreams that have taken years to get the full fulfillment of them. But keep it in your heart. Well, this has been a good meeting. I think we've come to a fullness here in our meeting, and we'll have another one another day. So why don't we begin to say goodbye? Judy, it's good to see you. How long are you going to be in California?
I'll be in California for another, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it's been a good visit. It's been really nice. So praise God for that.
Okay. Well, then let us say goodbye. And blessings to you all. We'll see you next week.
God bless you, brother.
Oh, there's the baby. Yeah. Okay. Oh my goodness, she's growing already.
Yeah. She's a big girl now.
Oh, there's Larry.